It all began 2 years ago. I was driving home from the bar after a night out with friends. Everyone told me to catch an Uber, but I had driven my own car to the bar that night and I didn't want to leave it in the parking lot overnight. It wasn't the best area, and I was afraid it would get stolen or broken into. Those were my excuses, of course. If I had, the accident never would have happened, and I never would have damaged my sight or killed that innocent man. The accident happened on the highway as I drove home, far beyond the legal limit of intoxication. Although I was drunk, I recall the crash vividly. It has haunted my dreams every single night. There's a long stretch of forest between my house and the bar I was at that night. The roads are full of sharp curves and completely lacking any form of light. Not many people take those roads after midnight, fearing the likelihood of hitting a deer on one of the blind turns. It wasn't a deer I hit, however. It was a young man of 29, driving home from a double shift as a nurse, likely daydreaming of walking through his front door to give his 3-month-old baby a goodnight kiss and crawl into bed with his wife. I like to believe he didn't suffer. Our cars collided head-on as I veered into the oncoming lane inside one of the blind corners. He tried to steer away from me, but there wasn't enough time. I hit him at no less than 50 miles per hour, forcing his car off the edge of the steep hill we crashed on. He stood no chance at survival, while all I suffered was a concussion and a bruised collarbone. It wasn't fair. Me, a selfish drunk trying to keep my car from getting damaged, had been the direct cause of this loss of an innocent life. A father, a husband. I was rushed to a hospital as soon as the next passing car saw me in the middle of the road, airbags deployed, my blood covering the steering wheel. I was knocked unconscious, unaware at the time of the damage I'd caused. It wasn't until I awoke in the hospital several days later that I was able to inform someone about the other car. The poor man's family had to wait nearly a week to find out where he was, and only to find out that he had been killed by a goddamn drunk driver. It wasn't fair. Soon after awaking, I'd learned that the damage to my head had caused me to lose most of my sight. The doctors tried to explain what had happened, but I've never been known for my memory or my understanding of biology, so I'll spare you any attempts at trying to explain what they had told me. I served a 1-year sentence in prison for vehicular manslaughter while under the influence of alcohol. I deserved worse, I know. You don't need to tell me. Though if you do, I wouldn't blame you. Throughout most of my prison sentence, I had to make do with non-prescription glasses. I could hardly see through them, making my life quite difficult as an inmate. I was often the target of prison gangs, taking beatings every other week. They knew I could hardly see, and somehow they learned that I had killed a man and that he had a young daughter at home. I deserved every beating. Just a few weeks before my release, my requests for a doctor were finally approved. I needed real glasses, and getting healthcare in prison was not an easy thing to accomplish. It took longer than expected to be directed to an optometrist. It wasn't until a couple of weeks after I was released that I was finally able to see one. I had no health insurance, but I was lucky enough to find a doctor that offered to help me if I followed an easy payment plan. I felt lucky, and even though I didn't deserve it, I accepted the help. As I was called into the doctor's office, I was met by the optometrist that I'd previously spoken to. She was an exceptionally kind woman of about 50 years old. Before I could even introduce myself, she began to speak. "Hello, Mr. Jones," she said, looking down at my medical record. "I see here that you suffered a severe concussion during a car accident." I nodded, hoping she wouldn't ask any details about the accident. "Yes, that's correct, Doctor. You may call me Claire. I'd never like to go by my title. It always makes me feel like I've got some sort of god complex." "I see. Well, Claire, I greatly appreciate what you're doing for me. If it weren't for you, I'd be stuck with dollar store glasses forever. You don't need to thank me, Mr. Jones. You'll be paying me just the same as anyone else. Just a little slower. It's nothing, trust me. With that, Claire had me take a seat in the examination chair. She put me through the motions of the typical eye exam, testing how far I could see and the level of thickness I would need for my lenses. Overall, it was an easy experience. I was excited to finally be able to see again. A few days later, I received an email that my new glasses were ready for pickup at Claire's office. Without wasting a moment, I ordered an Uber to bring me there, as I was no longer able to drive. Not only was my license suspended, but my sight was far too damaged for driving. I arrived at the doctor's office, anxious to try the glasses and experience clear sight again for the first time in over a year. I couldn't believe it was finally going to happen. I had forgotten what it was like to really see. I got my glasses and immediately put them on. My vision became as clear as it had ever been. It was just as amazing as I'd expected, if not more so. I suddenly realized how I'd taken advantage of the privilege of sight. It's easy to forget how incredible it is when you have it your entire life. As I rode home in the backseat of another Uber, watching the trees as we passed by with the clarity I'd grown to miss so much, I began to feel an odd sort of headache coming on. It wasn't terrible, but it just sat behind both of my eyes. It was the type of headache you get from looking at screens for too long, only I never had it affect both eyes at once. I shrugged it off as a side effect of the new glasses and decided I'd just take some ibuprofen once I made it back home. By the time I arrived home, only 20 or so minutes later, the pain behind my eyes had increased to something far beyond anything I'd ever felt before. It was as if someone had taken my optic nerves and ripped them apart. The pain was so bad that my sight had nearly vanished, regardless of wearing my new glasses. I decided to take them off, hoping the pain would subside. Thankfully, the pain did fade after several hours without wearing the glasses. On top of that, I'd taken a couple extra painkillers in hopes that they would work faster and harder than usual. Once the pain was mostly gone, I felt it would be best to call Claire and ask for her advice. If anyone would have known whether the pain was normal, it would have been her. After describing the progression of the pain to her, she offered her best advice, explaining that, in some rare cases, people can have severe migraines as a reaction to the corrective lenses. On top of that, since I'd suffered a major head injury, that side effect could become even more likely. She suggested I try wearing the glasses in small increments to see if my eyes would adjust, and if it didn't help, we would try something new. So, over the next few days, I did what she recommended, and within just a 3-day period, I experienced more pain than I'd ever felt in all my time living thus far. If you've ever heard stories of the old days when folks had to remove their own teeth due to infections, you can imagine how much pain I was going through when I'd almost decided to remove my own damn eyeballs to stop the pain. On top of the pain, or maybe because of it, I began hallucinating during those few days. Over and over, I saw the dark roads of the night of my car accident. I saw the horrified face of the man I'd killed as he realized what was happening. There was nothing I could do but watch as the accident happened over and over again, right before my damaged eyes. I decided enough was enough. It was time to go see Claire. I was certain she would find a way to help me keep my sight and get rid of the agonizing torture I'd been through. During my second visit, she agreed that the glasses weren't going to be the right fit for me. She believed it was likely due to my concussion, and she felt she had a solution. She suggested a special type of contact lenses made for people who experienced migraines from glasses, and due to the horrible side effects I'd experienced, she wasn't going to charge me at all for the second visit or the contacts. I was willing to try anything at that point, and I was more than grateful for her generosity. I went home that night, excited yet again to finally be able to see, and even more so for getting rid of the headaches. As soon as I made it home, I rushed to the bathroom to try the contact lenses. Before putting them in, I followed the instructions Claire provided so as to not cause any discomfort. I washed my hands for several minutes, making sure to get rid of any trace of debris. Then, I removed the first contact lens from its case and placed it into my palm. Next, I sprayed the lens with a cleaning solution Claire provided and prepared to place it into my eye. As I held my eyelids back, slightly trembling in anticipation, I placed the lens into my eye. It was much simpler than I'd expected. I repeated the step for my left eye, and all was good. I could see clearly again. Now, all I could do was hope for no headaches, and everything would be fine. It only took a few minutes for my worst fears to come to life. If I had thought the migraines were bad, this was nothing short of hell itself. My eyes began to feel as though someone had taken two needles and slowly forced them into the soft skin of the cornea, taking the time as if to bask in the horrific process. The pain moved its way from front to back, only stopping once it reached the end, just to begin spreading to the rest of my eyes. Until that moment, I hadn't realized it was possible to feel pain on the insides of your eyes. I couldn't have been more wrong. There is no more terrifying pain that I am aware of than to feel like your eyes are going to explode inside your head at any moment. I didn't know what to do. I was in too much agony to remove the contact lenses, but I had to try anyway. With blurry, tear-filled vision, I looked into the mirror in an attempt to remove them, only to see that my face looked nearly as bad as my eyes felt. There was a bloody discharge leaking from under each of my eyelids, running its way down my face and dripping into the bathroom sink. I was utterly horrified at the sight of it, nearly passing out as I tried to overcome the heavy shaking of my hands. I wasn't going to be able to do this. I had to call an ambulance. I found myself awaking yet again in the bed of a hospital. Only this time, when I opened my eyes, I could see nothing but darkness. I began to panic as I realized I couldn't see anything. Not even a faint blur of light. Had the contact lenses somehow ruined my eyesight completely, or was it all due to the concussion I'd suffered in the car accident? Not knowing what else to do, I began to scream as I frantically searched for the call button. A nurse quickly made her way in, grabbing my arms in attempts to calm me down. "What is it, Mr. Jones? Are you feeling any pain?" the nurse asked, raising her voice to overcome my screaming. "I can't see," I shouted. "Please, I can't see. What is happening?" "Mr. Jones, it's just the bandages," she replied, bringing my hands up to my face to feel the gauze around my head. "See, your eyesight should be fine. We've just wrapped your eyes to give them time to recover before we subject them to light." I began to calm down enough to sensibly reply. "Recover? Why? What happened to my eyes?" "The doctor is on her way now, Mr. Jones. She will explain everything." As the nurse promised, it wasn't long before I could hear Claire's voice as she walked into the hospital. She politely asked the nurse to leave us alone so that she could explain to me what had happened. "Hello again, Thomas," she said, her tone just as calm and warm as ever. "How are you feeling?" "Fine, I guess. What happened to me? Am I going to be able to see?" "Yes, you should have no more issues with your eyes, Thomas. We had to do an unexpected surgery. Your eyes were beyond repair when you made it to the hospital. We had to give you new ones." "New eyes? Jesus Christ, are you sure everything is going to be—" "Yes, Thomas," Claire interrupted. "As I told you, your sight is going to be fine. Now, listen to me. You've been extremely lucky to have found me. There are not many optometrists who could have saved your eyesight as I have." She paused for a long moment, leaving the room in complete silence. "I think you've suffered enough now, Thomas Jones," she continued. "I hope you've learned your lesson." After a lingering pause, I decided to respond, feeling like I'd waited long enough so I wouldn't be interrupting her. Learned my lesson? What is that supposed to mean? No response. Claire? After a few more moments of silence, I decided to remove my bandages so we could finish the conversation. It took me several minutes to get them off, as they were heavily layered to keep my eyes from any light. When I finally got them off, I could see perfectly clearly. There was no pain, and even though Claire had told me there were new eyes, I didn't feel any different. As I looked around the room, I realized that Claire had left. I had to find her, to thank her for saving my eyesight, and I had to know what she meant from the last thing she said to me. Make my way out of the hospital room, I couldn't help but to notice the different color of my new eyes as I passed by a mirror. My old eyes were dark brown, and these ones were a grayish blue. There was something familiar about them, but I couldn't quite put my finger on exactly what it was. I shrugged it off, thinking I'd come back to it later, and continued on my way to find Claire. I approached the nurse's counter outside my room as I looked for her and decided to ask the first person I saw where I might find her. Claire? You mean Dr. Wayne? She left the hospital in a hurry just a few moments ago. She had to catch a flight to return home. She mentioned she was only here to take care of one patient, which I'm guessing was you. I was in shock. Why would she have come here just to help me? It didn't make any sense. Dr. Wayne? I thought she didn't like to be called doctor. She told me... That was when it hit me. All of the pieces came rushing together. The payment plan, the free lenses, and now the surgery. The familiar look in my new eyes as I looked in the mirror. Alan Wayne was the name of the man I had killed on the highway that night. These were his eyes. I think you've suffered enough now, Thomas Jones, she told me. I hope you've learned your lesson.